The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at NewBalance.com.
Welcome to the Cover 3 Podcast with your hosts, Chip Patterson and Barton Simmons. It's your call for the best college football coverage. From National Signing Day to the National Championship and everything in between, CBS Sports presents the Cover 3 Podcast.
And welcome back to the Cover 3 Podcast here on CBS Sports. That's Barton Simmons. That's Tom Fornelli. I'm Chip Patterson. We've got a lot in store for you today. 12 rounds of skill position drafting. We heard great response after we built out our quarterback rooms for Barton A&M, Fornelli Tech, and CPU. And now it's time, and we've appreciated, you know, all of the interest from all the listeners who are, you know, trying to decide between these programs. But now it's time to have some running backs to hand the ball off to, some wide receivers and tight ends to catch the passes, and we'll see the different ways that these coaches and the leaders of these three respective programs want to build out their rosters around those quarterback rooms. Gentlemen, before we dive into this this very fun exercise, how are we doing on this Monday afternoon?
I'm good.
I'm sweating.
Is it nice and sticky?
That's Chicago heat right now?
No, a bet. Sweating a bet.
Oh.
Tom's draws?
Yep. What's Crystal Palace and Burnley. No score.
No score.
56 minutes in.
So 0-0, that means that we are on a path to winning.
Uh-huh. I'd be happy if these two teams just passed the ball back and forth for another 40 minutes or so.
Barton, a draw play in a soccer match is fantastic.
A draw play?
Like you can...
Yeah. Like you bet the draw?
Yes.
Yeah. There's nothing like betting on a tie.
You're betting on a tie and you're getting like normally 2-1 payout.
That is a way to make a tie at least satisfying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Otherwise what the hell? But yeah, I could see that as a, you know, then you can sort of take a couple sides. You know, if you got a team in the bet or in the just favorite, you got your favorite, you're rooting for them to win, pick the draw. Yeah, then you got two wins out of it.
And you're also never really out of it. You know, team's up 1-0, 2-1. That means that you could always see the other team as they're panicking. Like the team that's ahead by one goal is normally going to kind of shut it down, but the other team's going to get real aggressive. Really, your only weakness is by getting so aggressive, you give up the quick counter, and then all of a sudden you're down 3-1 and your draw is toast. But there's a lot of ways to be able to get that late extra time goal from the team that was down one to be able to get you that draw.
Yeah, I haven't found my way into the soccer football TV viewing yet. So
wow, it's on like every day, man.
I know. Maybe it's I need amazing. To do that. I have found though, like my wife and I still will throw a TV on or a show on before bed from time to time. In fact, a lot of nights. The background TV watching is totally gone because there's nothing really live that I'm interested in.
Right.
And usually there's a basketball game or a football game or just, I don't know, current events that are on that I'm interested in. Now it's just, there's really nothing to watch.
You're not watching The Floor is Lava?
I have watched that.
Okay.
What?
Yeah, it's the game that you remembered playing as a child brought to life.
Yeah, that's been good. That's created some activities for the kids, for sure.
Wait, so it's The Floor is Lava?
Did you ever play that game as a child where you pretend that the floor is lava and you're just jumping from the couch to the table and doing anything you can to not be to be the last one that has not yet touched the floor?
Not as a child, but there was a time in my early 20s where I played that game because under the influence of maybe some illicit substances, I thought that the floor was lava.
Oh, that's getting that's getting real. Wow. Well,
so yeah,
that's the only show on Netflix that has yet to be fully watched by my kids. They've watched every single other show that Netflix presents to us.
You know what I've been binging on Netflix?
What?
The it's Formula One Drive to Survive.
Yeah, I was tempted by that. I can't quite get my wife on board. But.
And what's crazy is that the Formula One season starts this weekend. So after watching that on Netflix, I think that might be watching myself some Formula One this weekend.
I got to get in on that. I'm glad to hear somebody else make that recommendation. I've got a friend who was selling me on that about 2 weeks ago. So I'm like, it's like the parliamentary procedures. I need to hear a second before I'll move the motion on to the next stage. So you've given me enough motivation. I'll have to add it to the list for sure.
Speaking of loud cars, apologies if it happens. It's not happening right now, but there has been this car parked on the street outside the house for like 3 days now, and the alarm just goes off intermittently. So if you're listening and you happen to own like a brown maroonish Acura MDX and you're parked in a neighborhood in northern Chicago, could you like move your car?
Well, A, it could be a listener, because listeners have claimed both A, that they have seen you walking your dog, and B, I think we've had multiple Chicago listeners who've gotten all in and just sort of creepily watch you or deliver sandwiches to you. So, you know, if it's them, then yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
Before we get into this draft, I want to remind everybody that baseball is set to return July 23rd, to be specific, and that means it's time to draft or redraft if you already drafted back in March. So over the next 2 weeks, Scott White, Chris Towers, and Frank Stanfill are previewing each position for fantasy baseball, letting you know who to draft, who to avoid, sleepers, busts, and much more. They're also taking your questions for Friday mailbags, where they answer anything that you might want to know regarding this shortened season. Once again, that is the Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Next 2 weeks, position previews, all getting ready for your drafts and your redrafts for when baseball is set to return. Fantasy Baseball Today, download it wherever you get your podcasts. So the quarterbacks were drafted a few weeks ago. You know, there was a lot of good feedback, a lot of questions, and I couldn't help myself but think that these quarterbacks need some players to be able to share the ball with. We got to be able to get our offenses going. So we are going to do 12 rounds of skill position player drafts. There is no limitation and no requirement in terms of how many of a wide receiver, a running back, or a tight end that you draft, but these are going to be the positions that we're looking at. And Barton A&M, you are going to be the first one on the clock.
All right. Happy to do it. I'm glad I'm number one, because I tweeted out a little sneak peek at my war room, and it wasn't in fact a smoke screen. It was in fact the actual board. My number one pick, my number one seed of all the skill positions in all of college football, Ja'Marr Chase, LSU wide receiver, lock it up. He is the best non-quarterback in college football.
Awful pick. Just absolute horrible. Terrible. Don't know what you're doing.
Is he going to be able to shine with your quarterback room? Like, do you feel like he's joining in with a group that's going to be able to let him live like he did with Joe Burrow?
I mean, my quarterback's Trey Lance. I don't have any. What would be my concern, that the Trey Lance can't get Ja'Marr Chase the ball? No, we're good. We're good. That dude's and he can operate in any offense, in any system, with any quarterback. He's a deep threat. He's a route runner. He's a powerful guy. He's fast. He's a top five pick in the NFL draft next year.
Yeah. No nonsense pick. Not overthinking it. Jamar Chase, wide receiver. All right, Fernelli Tech.
Well, you took the number one player on my board, so I have to go with, I guess, the number two player on my board. So this isn't really the overall direction that I'll be going with my offense, but I'm going to start with my running back. I'm taking the best running back in the country. I'm taking Travis Etienne.
He turns down Chuba Hubbard. He takes Travis Etienne. Good. He's very multiple, great at catching passes out of the backfield. Why do you say? Go ahead.
I think him and Justin Fields are going to pair very well in my backfield.
That does sound good. All right, my my first round pick is going to be Rondale Moore from Purdue.
Wow, that's a.
I thought he would fall to me in the next round.
And the first pick of the second round is freshman tight end Eric Gilbert from LSU.
Oh, now there and okay. So you just broke both of our hearts.
Yeah.
You know? I was really hoping to get Eric Gilbert. To give you a little insight into my board, Eric Gilbert is the number one tight end on my board as well. Yeah. So
I reached because I knew it wasn't going to get through two picks with Barton A&M on the other side. I just knew I had no chance. I said, you're going to be a little bit too high, but maybe not. I mean, he is as unproven as, you know, I've got, I'm not going to tease my board, but there are several freshmen. I mean, we're trying to build out not only for 2020 and beyond, but Eric Gilbert, I'm betting on him being the real deal and living up to that five-star, top five, top 10 kind of caliber rating that 24/7 Sports and many others had for him coming out of high school.
Well, and look, the exercise here is not, this isn't a fantasy football team. The exercise is to build a real room for a real team. And in Eric Gilbert, you get a tight end for three more years.
Yeah.
So he might be, I think he'll be one of the best tight ends in the country this year. And if he is, then you got the best tight end in the country for 3 years. If he's just okay, I mean, he'll be good. But if he's just good instead of elite, then you got two more years of development in him as well. So I like the pick for sure.
All right, back to you, Fernelli Tech.
Still a little upset about the Rondale Moore pick. All right. So where do I want to go here? I was hoping Rondale was going to fall to me at two. I had Eric Gilbert as the top tight end on my board, but I wasn't going to go for him this early. But yeah, I think Barton was definitely going to take him. So yeah,
for sure.
I need a game breaker on offense, and I'm going to go with Jaylen Waddle.
Stings.
Yeah.
Stings.
Yeah, I was torn between him and Devonta Smith, and maybe, I don't want to give the rest of my board away, but I just feel like, I mean, he's not your typical number one receiver that you think of, but he's the dude that anytime he touches the ball, which is what I was interested in with Rondale Moore, he's a threat to score as soon as you put the ball in his hands. And I feel like if I'm doing some RPOs and I've got Justin Fields and Travis Etienne and then Jaylen Waddle out there, that is a pretty deadly trio.
Just defensive coordinators pulling their hair out. Which way do we go? How are we going to defend this?
Yeah, I like Jaylen Waddle a lot. He is he's my highest graded slot in the country over Rondale Moore. I'm with you. Is it my pick?
Yep.
All right, so I'm going Devonta Smith.
Mm-hmm.
I get the turn too, right?
Yep.
And then I'm going to go Pat Freiermuth for my other pick. So the way I see it now, I have, in my opinion, the two best wide receivers in the country in Jamar Chase and Devonta Smith. And I have the best or the most complete, arguably the best tight end in the country. Now, again, Eric Gilbert, you get 3 years with them. Pat Freiermuth, you get one. But I feel good about my room. Freiermuth being the tight end at Penn State, he can block, he can catch, he can, you know, it's going to be actually really interesting to see what Penn State does, because that's the strength of their offense is the run game and the tight ends. And the, you know, Shiraka comes from an offense where it's been really about the receivers. I will, I will feature Freiermuth in a very prominent way. So I am very excited. I got three of my five highest graded players overall in my first three picks. So I'm pumped.
Now I believe that you might have an extra year of Freiermuth if you can convince him to stay for another season.
He has an additional year of eligibility.
He does, as does Ja'Marr Chase.
But he could have left this year as a redshirt sophomore. He could have left.
Right.
No, Chase, and you're right, Chase, but Chase is gone.
He's going, right.
I mean, let's be real.
Devonta Smith, true senior, that he is for sure gone. And then depending on what kind of culture y'all are building, maybe he wants to come back. All right, Tom.
All right, so since Devontae just got taken, I've got Jalen Waddle. I feel like I need a guy who is a deep threat, but also, you know, gives me a little bit more size, somebody that I could take advantage of in that aspect. So I'm going with a guy who averaged nearly 20 yards a reception last year as a sophomore, had 9 touchdowns, nearly 1,200 yards. Out of Florida State, I'm taking Tamorion Terry.
Mm. Wow, interesting. So that's the next receiver up on your board, huh?
Not overall talent wise, but for what I need, yeah.
Huh. All right.
Sources close to the program indicate that CPU had Tamorion Terry as a 9th round grade for this draft.
Well,
take him off the board.
Tamorion Terry did not make the board for BAMU.
Yeah, well, bam, you can't even screenshot its computer screen. So what do they know?
We're old school draft Knicks.
Did you know that last year, Tamorion Terry averaged 10.2 yards after the catch per reception?
He's a monster.
You may be right.
Yeah, he's a
beast.
He's
one of these guys. Like, there's a lot of these that there's a lot of receivers that are like, not that it's hard for me to tell them apart, but it's I could substitute one for the other. And he's right there in the mix there, and he might be better than all of them in terms of just like the big outside guy. But he didn't happen to make my board.
I've got a chance to really strike a blow to the heart of some of my competitors here in the conference, but I'm gonna stay away from being petty and just stick to my board. My third round pick will be Kyle Pitts, the sophomore tight end out of Florida. And then my fourth round pick will be Rashad Bateman, the junior wide receiver out of Minnesota.
So are you going double tight end?
You got it.
Oh, Chip. You going to draft a fullback too?
I got some options with my offense. I like where I'm at. I've, you know, right now we're sitting on two wide receivers, you know, two tight ends. I like the depth that's still on the board at running back, a couple players that I think that even as it swings back, I can add something to the group. So I'm feeling all right.
I would 100% have taken Kyle Pitts if he had fallen to me on my next pick. I love that pick.
All right, Tom.
All right, well, I've got my X, I've got my Z, got my running back. I need my Y.
Right.
So for my slot, I'm taking a guy. I mentioned that Tamorion Terry averaged 10.2 yards after the catch per reception last year. In the slot, I'm taking a guy who averaged 10.6 yards after the catch per reception last season. Out of Louisville, the 2-2 Atwell.
Yeah.
Good pick.
Yeah. That is a good pick. That's like, to me, yeah, it's Jalen Waddle, it's Rondell Moore, it's Tutu Atwell. That's why, like, you were all upset about Rondell Moore, and I get it. I mean, he's a stud, but those three guys are borderline. You can trade any one of them out for the other, and I'll take it. I love all three of those guys.
All right, Barton.
All right. Now we got a few decisions to make here. So I think I'm going to go for my next pick with – okay, let's go Michael Mayer. He's a 5-star tight end.
God, all my tight ends are gone already. I did not think we would be this deep into tight ends so quickly.
He's a true freshman heading to Notre Dame. Have you picked a tight end yet?
No, he hasn't.
Oh my God, man. This is embarrassing.
Here's my thought. After Chip took Gilbert, and then you took Freiermuth, and then Chip took Pitts, I was like, all right, well, I don't have to take my tight end for a while, because surely those are all the tight ends they're gonna be taking now.
No, this is here's, you know, when I get my head coaching job, when I leave CBS for my head coaching gig, you have a little bit of insight into how I'm going to build my roster. I want versatility at the tight end position. Ideally, I'd like to get a little bit, you know, Kyle Pitts is the perfect complement for Pat Freiermuth, because Kyle Pitts is almost like a hybrid, like, you know, whatever you want to call
him.
He's
a basketball player. Guy. He's 6'5", yeah. 256 pounds, incredible athleticism.
Yeah. And so, and then, you know, and he splits out and just plays X for Florida half the time. So Michael Mayer, again, I got my veteran. Now I got my true freshman. He's the next great one for Notre Dame. So I'm excited about that one. And I'm back on the clock, right?
Yep. You are.
I'll take another tight end off my board.
Let's go with Brevin Jordan. Tight end for
Miami. Another tight end.
For real? Yeah. You know, why not? Because look, now I have three of my top six tight ends, three of my top five tight ends. I've got, and Brevin Jordan, you got one that is sort of the skill set of Kyle Pitts in terms of his ability to be a pass catch guy, a mismatch in the pass game. Michael Mayer can kind of do both as a young guy who's coming up in the game. Pat Freiermuth is my inline guy. I kind of love the way this is coming together.
Tom.
I'm going up against two Stanfords here.
Yeah.
Guess that means I'm going to have to spread it out a little more. Yeah. Let's see. Well, I've got my three starters for 2020. At receiver, but I need somebody who's going to be, you know, waiting in the wings, somebody who could dominate as a sophomore, maybe, you know, redshirt. They'll probably get some time this year, but maybe they'll redshirt. We'll see. I'm taking Julian Fleming, the wide receiver, a five-star recruit committed to Ohio State in the 2020 class.
Yeah. He is among that group that came into Ohio State, he is probably the highest ceiling guy. So especially if you're not asking him to start, he's clearly, in my opinion, the best freshman receiver in the country to take, because he's the upside there is ridiculous.
All right. Well, you know, first of all, I know that I'm only going to get 1 year out of him, but you know, I got to get Chuba Hubbard. It's the fifth round. I've got a round 1 through 4 grade on him. You know, we need a running back. Chuba Hubbard's going to be there. Now I get two more years out of my next pick. I teased that I felt like this would be just bringing out some petty competitiveness, but on the recruiting trail or in the draft room, there's, you know, you got to be out for blood. And I just saw three straight tight ends come off the board. So I'm sorry, Barton Simmons, but Buffalo's own Jarrett Patterson's coming home to CPU.
Ooh.
Jarrett Patterson from the Buffalo Bulls, a junior running back, as my first pick of the sixth round.
All right. Well, I may get you back down the road. We'll see. I may have something up my sleeve for you.
I'm a little worried about Chuba and Jared having to split carries. You might have some heads butting in that running back room.
Listen,
two guys trying to improve their draft stock for 2020.
This is an iron sharpens iron situation.
Well, I suppose when you're running the ball 50 times a game, you want to be able to spread it out a little.
That's right. All right, Tom, back to you.
Huh. All right. Well, I'm going to take I've got Travis Etienne with my first pick, but I mean, he's only going to be around for another year, so I better have somebody waiting in the wings to replace him. I'm going to take Bijan Robinson, Texas running back.
Man, you're going young. All right. So all right. I'm with it.
Well, you in our quarterback draft really shook me with the ability to flex the young people. I had to up my game without a doubt, stepping up in the
draft. No, I mean, it's smart. I just, Tom has now taken true freshmen and back-to-back picks. I was hoping those guys would – I wanted those guys. I was just hoping they would – they'd be on the board a little later in the draft. But I like the picks.
Listen, this Who's offense up? Is going to be scoring 55 points a game for the next 5 years. Good luck, Pete.
All right, Barton, you're up.
Okay. So, let's see. My next pick, I'm going to go with George Pickens at wide receiver out of Georgia. That's a guy who is a true sophomore, so I got at least two more seasons with him. So I like that. And then I'm going to take another true sophomore here, and I understand this is probably – I don't even know if this guy would have been picked by you guys, but – I really like this pick in this spot because it gives me a lot of flexibility. I'm going George Pickens, and then I'm going Wandale Robinson out of Nebraska.
Yep, he was on my board.
I'm drafting him as a flex guy, wide receiver, running back. If I need to use him as a running back, I will. If I need to use him as a slot wide receiver, I will. But because of that flexibility, he was the number four slot guy on my board. So lock Wandale up.
Wandale Robinson optimism goes hand in hand with thinking that Nebraska is going to be successful.
Well, I'm not drafting him as a part of Nebraska. I'm drafting him as a part of Barton A&M.
Right. If you are if you're optimistic about him on the field though this season.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he was still the guy when you watched Nebraska last year. Like, to me, he was their best player on offense. And that was the guy, like, when they would threaten and start to look like the old Nebraska, the old Nebraska, but also the old UCF. Like, it was when Wandale Robinson was making plays to me. So I just like the guy's competitiveness. He's got juice. He's dynamic. I love him.
All right, Tom.
Well, I've gone young the last two picks, but this guy's still got, he's got at least 1 year, maybe two. I doubt it, though. I mean, not at the rate he catches touchdowns because he caught, 12 of them last year. We're going to add a little more depth to that receiver room, boys. We're taking Chris Olave.
All right.
Second Ohio State receiver off the board.
And just go ahead and get ready because we're going to make it a third because –
when my guy was coming off.
I'm taking Garrett Wilson, the sophomore wide receiver from Ohio State.
Yeah.
The CPU takes Garrett Wilson from the Ohio State University. And coming up on the other side, the rest of our draft plus post-draft breakdowns of what the rosters are looking like for Barton A&M, Fernelli Tech, and CPU next.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Before we get back with the first pick of the eighth round of the skill position draft here on the Cover 3 podcast, want to give you a heads up. We've got some big time football recruiting commitments, CBS Sports HQ, wall-to-wall coverage. Tony Grimes will be announcing his commitment Tuesday at 4 p.m. Dallas Turner Wednesday at 1 p.m. We'll be doing some Tony Grimes reaction podcast here on the Cover 3 podcast afterwards. And Barton, I assume that you are very involved in the CBS Sports HQ coverage and reaction to this as well.
Yeah, I'll be poking in there. You'll see the luxurious flow as it continues to grow in the quarantine era. I'll be piping in on what a couple of those commitments mean and that kind of stuff.
All right, my first pick of the eighth round. Actually, let's do a quick recap. We're seven picks in. Barton A&M has Jamar Chase at wide receiver, Devonta Smith at wide receiver, Pat Freiermuth at tight end, Michael Mayer at tight end, freshman at Notre Dame, Brevin Jordan from Miami at tight end, George Pickens, the sophomore wide receiver from Georgia, and Wandale Robinson, wide receiver from Nebraska. That is 1, 2, 3, 4 wide receivers and 3 tight ends. Fernelli Tech sitting on Travis Etienne at running back, Jalen Waddle at wide receiver, Tamarion Terry at wide receiver, Tutu Atwell at wide receiver, Julian Fleming at wide receiver, freshman at Ohio State, Tutu Atwell from Louisville, by the way, Bijan Robinson, the freshman running back at Texas, and Chris Olave, the Ohio State wide receiver. That is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 wide receivers, 2 running backs. CPU, currently Rondale Moore, wide receiver, Eric Gilbert, the freshman tight end from LSU, Kyle Pitts, the tight end, sophomore tight end from Florida, Rashad Bateman, wide receiver from Minnesota, Chuba Hubbard, Oklahoma State running back, Jarrett Patterson, Buffalo running back, and Garrett Wilson, the Ohio State wide receiver. My first pick of the eighth round is going to be, and you know, strange with his teammate, with somebody from his own position room still on the board, I've got to focus on the future. I'll be taking redshirt freshman running back Trey Sanders from Alabama.
That's an interesting pick. I kind of forgot about him. I kind of like that. That's resourceful. Tip of the cap to the scouting department there.
He
was on my board. No, that's a good pick. He was of the young running backs. He was next on my board.
He injured his foot prior to the 2019 season, and I feel like that injury, amidst all of the other injuries that Alabama had at the time, like that was around the same kind of time where Dylan Moses went down with his injury. And, you know, with Najee Harris already there, I don't think that I gave it as much, you know, lip service maybe in commentary just because I figured that it wasn't damaging. I mean, the Alabama running back room is deep, but as I dug in on Alabama a little bit over the last couple of weeks, I, you know, saw some reporting and some indications that, hey, man, the former five-star that was, what, probably a top 10 player in the class, Barton? Something like that?
Yeah, in that range.
Yep. Yeah, I think that he could be the real deal. So we want to bring him in, and we want to make sure that with a senior Chuba Hubbard and with a junior Jarrett Patterson, that we've got a running back for the future. So we will bring in Trey Sanders.
I like it.
Kind of funny that Trey Sanders went before Najee Harris. Najee Harris hasn't gone yet.
I know.
Well, there you go. I mean, it's the value of having him for at least 2 more years versus Najee, you only get him for 1. They're probably they're fairly similar probably in terms of their skill set, but yeah, you're right. That's that you know, Najee just sort of seems like the guy everyone likes, but no one falls in love with him.
Do you think that's because of his role in that offense? Just that when you had Tua and, you know, Jerry Jeudy, Devonta Smith, and Henry Ruggs and Jalen Waddle, that it was just, there were too many other fun options. Like everybody loves to play Madden and run 4 wide receivers out of the shotgun, and that's exactly what Alabama did.
Yeah. I mean, it's. He was just the.
He was a screen pass guy, and then he would crush it with the screen pass, and you know, run him in for touchdowns and big gains. But
when you're used to watching the motorcycle, the dirt bike, Jalen Waddle, and then all those other receivers. It's just not as breathtaking to watch the big guy like Najee Harris.
All right, Tom, back to you.
Well, value-wise, I think Najee Harris would be a good pick here. It's just, again, he's only got 1 year left. I've already got Travis Etienne, so why am I going to have those two guys on my roster both fighting for carries? So instead, I'll take another young back. I'll take DeMarcus Bowman.
Man, just loading up with freshmen.
5-star freshman running back out of Clemson, DeMarcus Bowman.
Yeah, I've got Etienne and Etienne's replacement.
He's basically, yeah, he's like ETN Jr. If you have not seen DeMarcus Bowman, that's going to be the skill set he'll bring.
All right, back to you, Barton.
Okay. I'm going to go with the running back position. Get on the board there, even though Wandell Robinson allows me a little bit of versatility. I'm going to go Kenneth Gainwell out of Memphis.
Good pick.
Was that going to be – I didn't have a good feel for when he was going to go off the board. Was that a strong likelihood for either of you guys?
He's the next sophomore that I've got up. He's a redshirt sophomore, and I think that given his explosion as a freshman last year and the eligibility that he has remaining, he is a very good pick. He's next up in line for that, of course.
Yeah.
He was on the board.
All right. Next up, you know, I think I'm going to go – I'm going to go with Breece Hall. He is out of Iowa State.
Yep.
He was a true freshman last year. And the thing I like about Breece Hall is he's a big back. Not like a jumbo back, but he has size. He can be like an every down back, but he's also a really good pass catcher. And so I think when I just look at all the receivers out there, I think there's a lot of good options. And so instead, I'm just going to roll with a guy that I think is pretty unique in the skill set. And like you said, with Kenneth Gainwell potentially bouncing on me after 1 year, I know I got at least Breece Hall to hang with me for two.
So you've got right now, you've addressed the running back position in the eighth and ninth round after just sticking to pass catchers with four wide receivers and three tight ends. Barton A&M's offense really rounding into form. Fernelli Tech looks like they're still going to be running 10 personnel unless things change here near the end. Back to you, Tom.
Not changing this round. No, in this round, we're taking one of the best names in the game, Charleston Rambo.
Yeah. Oklahoma wide receiver.
Mm-hmm. Another player who was a monster after the catch. There's a theme with the receivers that we enjoy here at Fernelli Tech. We don't want guys who can just catch the ball. We want guys who can do things with the ball after they catch it. And, man, pray for the secondaries that are going against us.
All right. I gotta understand, you know, we're here in the ninth round. We're starting to wind down. Got to really look and understand whether I'm going to be leaning towards, players that are going to – what they're going to bring to the room. So for my last pick – of the ninth round, I'm going to go with Amon-Ra St. Brown, junior wide receiver out of USC. The USC wide receiver room is absolutely loaded, and while getting a junior does maybe make things a little bit difficult, you know, if he has a big year for us, then he could be off to the NFL, but you know, maybe he wants to stick around and play for CPU because, as we all know, at CPU, it's not a 4-year decision; it's a 40-year decision. We really, really value the educational experience here on campus.
His brother Equanimeous St. Brown didn't value the educational experience at Notre Dame. He went early in the NFL draft, and so I hope you're offering up something that Notre Dame couldn't. Otherwise, the family tradition is to go ahead and bounce.
Counterpoint, Equanimeous St. Brown played in the middle of a hurricane against NC State with Deshaun Kizer, and I don't know anybody that would want to go back to that experience. Because the way to win in a hurricane is to throw. All right, I'm going to save this. I'm going to go back to the wide receiver position. It's going to be another junior. I'm going to go with Terrace Marshall, wide receiver out of LSU.
Good pick. He was very, very unheralded in that offense last year because of, you know, Jamar Chase and
Justin Jefferson.
Justin Jefferson. So, but no, he had pretty big numbers for a third option in the passing game.
Big time red zone threat.
Mm-hmm.
All right, back to you, Tom.
All right. I'm going to take another young receiver, another young Sooner receiver. I'm taking Jaden Hazelwood.
Yeah, I like that one. I had him higher on my board than Charleston Rambo. I think Jaden Hazelwood's going to ball out this year. I think he has a breakout season.
He was a freshman last year.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Any like, I guess the way that offense ran, it just became pretty clear early on that the strength was going to be the run game and sort of running everything through Hurts. Was there any indication as to why Hazelwood did or didn't have more of an impact beyond that? Well, CeeDee Lamb too, right? Because it was like CeeDee Lamb and then even Charleston Rambo, the second leading wide receiver, was way, way down in terms of number of receptions. Where was Hazelwood?
His numbers. I mean, he messed around and got in there. I mean,
let me check it. I could find it real quick here.
He and Trajan Bridges was the other freshman that we'll get. I mean, it was still I know CeeDee Lamb was ultimately sort of their go-to guy, but.
So it's 62 catches for 1,327 yards for CeeDee Lamb, then 43 catches for 743 yards for Charleston Rambo, and then Jaden Hazelwood down there at 19 catches.
19 for 272.
Yeah, and one touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
A reception and a half per game.
Well, you know, he's going to get more chances at Fairleigh Tech. Maybe not this year, but, you know, that's pretty – you look at our depth chart, you know.
Build
stack depth chart.
Yeah.
Are you still yet to draft a tight end?
Correct.
I'm sort of tempted to just start just like cleaning out the tight end.
Go for it. I don't care.
20 personnel.
They could be doing nothing but blocking in my scheme at this rate. I'll just put an extra tackle out there.
Not a bad idea.
Who's up?
You are, Barton.
All right. Here's what I need. I got Wandale Robinson as a slot, but I do want to add a little more speed to the mix here. I'm going to go with a true freshman, Kayshawn Boutte, who is a true freshman headed to LSU, monster speed guy, incredible athleticism. He can be a jet sweep guy. He can be a bubble screen guy. But he's a pretty good route runner as well. We won't need him to be a starter as a true freshman, but he's going to push George Pickens and Wandale Robinson, and he's going to find a way to get on the field. So give me Kayshawn Boutte.
He was on my board.
I didn't have him on my board. That's a good call. I just didn't. I don't have the scouting report down on him yet. But as I was doing my research for the names, he definitely popped up there. But I mean, what is it, Barton? The currency of the draft is information. That's a Barton advantage right there.
That's right. All right. So let's see. I got my starters. Now I just got to figure out what the rest of this room looks like. So I tell you what, I'm going to go with a guy. I got a couple guys in mind here. Let's go Treylon Burks. He's out of Arkansas. He played on a horrible team last year, but he was, when you watched Arkansas, you noticed this guy as a true freshman. And the reason that I went with them is because he brings some versatility. He's got juice. He's athletic. He returned punts for Arkansas, but he's like 225 pounds. And he is, so he can sort of be a whatever you want him to be. He's a true outside receiver. He can be a slot. He can be sort of a situational tight end. Again, he's got some special teams value. You know, I kind of doubt he was one that y'all were going to be eager to snatch up, but here at Barton A&M, we trust our eyes and we want Treylon Burks part of this team.
So as we are in the 11th round, Tom Fernelli Tech has drafted 7 wide receivers and 3 running backs, no tight ends. The 11th round, Fernelli Tech. Who are you taking?
All right, fine. We'll take Charlie Kohler, the tight end out of Iowa State.
Yeah.
I thought about taking him just to take him off your
Just to clean it out.
That's fine. I got others. I would have gone right down the board. Found me another tight end. Somebody's going to catch me 12, 13 passes this year.
That Iowa State, the great, great tight end running back quarterback combo, one of the best in the Big 12, if you ask me. All right, final picks for CPU. Last pick of the 11th, first pick of the 12th. There's some names left that I'm really excited about that are sophomores, but at this point, I'm really trying to bring in the locker room. I'm looking for the leaders. These guys might not be, you know, they might not be the number ones, but they are going to be on our leadership council. And when we're holding our team meetings, these are going to be some of the biggest voices in the room. For my 11th round pick, I'm taking Kylan Hill, running back out of Mississippi State. And for my 12th round pick, I'm taking Sage Surratt, junior out of Wake Forest.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Kylan, yeah, both those guys were definitely on the board for me. Kylan, so who are your running backs?
Running backs are Chuba Hubbard, Jarrett Patterson, Trey Sanders, and Kylan Hill.
Okay. All right.
I can dig it.
Yeah. So you got a few different. Yeah. You seem like you're pretty downhill. You seem like you're pretty physical.
Yes. Absolutely.
I mean, you're going to need to replace three running backs after this season.
We might slowly, evolve a little bit. But again, with Eric Gilbert as a freshman and Kyle Pitts as a sophomore, you know, Trey Sanders right there in the backfield. I like the future of the group.
All right,
Tom.
All right. Well, I'm going to go homer pick here because I need a backup tight end. I'm going to take a former highly rated recruit who originally committed to Georgia, spent a year there before transferring back home to the University of Illinois. I'm going to take Luke Ford.
You getting some good return, your intel?
Yeah.
Leading you believe this guy's going to be the real deal there?
It's apparently there's a reason he was rated as highly by such astounding and wonderful recruiting sites as 24/7 Sports.
That's good to know. I'm glad. That's a big dude.
Yeah, he's a very large, athletic man, and I feel like I can mold that into something.
Is Luke Ford like 6'7", 6'8"?
I think he's 6'6". Yeah. He might have grown in the last couple of years, but out of high school, he was 6'6", 250.
Yo. Yeah. That's awesome. All right, Fernelli Tech. Line it, just getting in there with a pair of tight ends here in the 11th and 12th round. And Barton A&M, your final pick of the skill position draft.
I'm going to go. So my running backs right now, I picked Wandale Robinson with the idea that he would be sort of my third running back. But the way this has gone, I'd like for him to just stick in that wide receiver room. I got a redshirt sophomore running back in Kenneth Gainwell. I got a sophomore running back in Breece Hall. Give me a freshman running back in Georgia Tech's Jahmyr Gibbs.
Mm.
Dynamic, explosive, exciting, the back of the future. I feel because I feel so good about the guys I picked elsewhere, I'm taking a running back where I might have been tempted to go even another tight end or receiver. So give me Jahmyr Gibbs.
All right, before we get into some of the post-draft breakdowns and some of the names that were left on our boards, consideration, sort of the mindset behind a lot of these selections, let's review the way the skill positions are looking right now. Barton A&M with Jamar Chase, Devonta Smith, Pat Freiermuth, Michael Mayer, tight end out of Notre Dame, Brevin Jordan, tight end out of Miami, George Pickens, go Dogs, Wandale Robinson out of Nebraska, Kenneth Gainwell out of Memphis, Breece Hall from Iowa State, Kayshawn Boutte, the freshman wide receiver from LSU, Treylon Burks, and Jahmyr Gibbs, running back out of Georgia Tech. Fernelli Tech, got things started with Travis Etienne, top running back in the game. Followed that up with Jalen Waddle, wide receiver out of Alabama. Tamarion Terry, wide receiver out of Florida State. Tutu Atwell, wide receiver out of Louisville. Julian Fleming, the freshman from Ohio State. Bijan Robinson, the freshman running back from Texas. Chris Olave, wide receiver from Ohio State. DeMarcus Bowman, freshman running just Clemson, Ohio State, Clemson, Ohio State. I mean, you're just a Fiesta Bowl over here.
We recruit over here, kid.
You are all right. Charleston Rambo, wide receiver out of Oklahoma. Jaden Hazelwood, wide receiver out of Oklahoma. The man has just drafted college football playoff participants. That's pretty much it. Charlie Kolar, tight end from Iowa State, and Luke Ford, tight end from Illinois. The CPU got it going with Rondale Moore out of Purdue. Eric Gilbert, freshman tight end from LSU. Kyle Pitts, tight end from Florida. Rashad Bateman, wide receiver from Minnesota. Chuba Hubbard from Oklahoma State. Jarrett Patterson, running back from Cousin Jarrett Patterson, running back from Buffalo. Garrett Wilson, wide receiver.
Did he get like a family scholarship?
Yeah, so he did.
That helps you save room for somebody else.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Garrett Wilson, the wide receiver out of Ohio State, sophomore. Trey Sanders, redshirt freshman running back out of Alabama. Amon-Ra St. Brown from USC. Terrace Marshall from LSU. Kylan Hill from Mississippi State. And Sage Surratt from Wake Forest. I like my squad. How are we feeling?
Oh, I'm going to run you fools.
I feel good. There's just so many good players left on my board that I wish I could have picked.
Okay, so we have discussed Najee Harris, where and now I had a round 1-4 grade on Najee Harris, but you know, just a player a lot of people like, but you know, hard to fall in love and tough decisions are made. Who are some of the other names that are? My next group is a sort of a group of sophomores, Javian Hawkins from Louisville. Sophomore running back, Drake London, the wide receiver from USC. I was torn between him and Amon-Ra St. Brown there in the ninth round. I had a round 5-8 grade on him. I also had round 5-8 grades for Jerrion Ealy, the sophomore running back from Ole Miss, and Zamir Zeus White from Georgia.
My entire tight end board was drafted most before the third round.
Yeah, you just got two tight ends, one injury, and you're just – You're in trouble.
No, you're real soft.
Of all the people to be a basketball and grass kind of guy, that is
we'll go 41.
A little bit shocking.
No, or not 41. We'll just go, you know, team. one running back and four receivers, four wide. We don't need a tight end.
All right, Barton, who's left on your board?
So my last pick, I was tempted to go Jaxon Smith-Njigba, that receiver, get just another Ohio State wide receiver off the board.
Yep.
I was also tempted if Warren Jackson at Colorado State was someone that I was kind of tempted to take, like this big 6'6" outside guy. I really kind of wanted to surprise you guys with my Dave Clawson Wake Forest pick with Donovan Green as a redshirt freshman, or he'll be a redshirt. Yeah, he'll be a redshirt freshman this year who balled out in the last four games last year as a redshirt. Jake Ferguson, Brent Keithy. Jake Ferguson, Wisconsin. Brent Keithy at Utah. Baylor Cup and Jaden Weidermeyer both at A&M. And there's like there's all kinds of true freshman tight ends this year that I would have believed in. And then I liked Javion Hawkins, Journey Brown, Jerrion Ealy, and Max Borgie. All those guys were guys I would have liked to found room for.
I had some running backs on my board I still had were Master Teague and Zamir White. Some of like the young incoming guys I had were Tank Bigsby, John Emery, Jace McClellan. Receivers, I had Jaxon Smith-Njigba on there, but Rakeem Jarrett, Damon Demis, David Bell and De'Ami Brown were a couple of veteran receivers that I had on my board, but I needed to go young to fill up after I was able to get all my starters early. So I was planning on taking them more in the mid to late as like a fourth or third receiver, but the way the draft went, I was able to get three guys really quickly, so they got left off altogether.
So Chip, wait, let me see. Do you have three tight ends or two?
Two.
I'm the only person that values the big-bodied athlete. Who'd have thought?
I mean, Garrett Wilson's a big-bodied athlete.
I mean, he's not that. He's no one's going to mistake him for a tight end. That's he's not going to get in line and block anybody. But you know, hey, that's fine. As the game moves towards your spread nonsense, I'll be right here with my three tight end packages
running your goal line offense at the 25 yard line.
So, Tylan Wallace, Oklahoma State wide receiver. I think that another one that, he's a senior. You know, you're going to be short on that.
He was like the highest graded player that I didn't draft, but he's a senior. And so, you know, I valued youth in a few of those instances.
Tulane running back Amari Jones. That was a name that I sort of came across during my research and probably didn't spend as much time during last season singling him out. It was, you know, it's mostly just, you know, talking about Willie Fritz and Tulane. Tom's below. Yeah,
Tulane had some fun dudes on that offense.
Elijah Moore from Ole Miss, Diami Brown from North Carolina, Seth Williams from Auburn was on my list.
Catch me with an Auburn wide receiver. I mean, give me some D linemen, give me a linebacker, DB, whatever you want. Throw them all my way, but hey, you can have your Auburn receivers.
And then then near the bottom of my draft board, not because they aren't great players, but another, you know, carefully calculated decisions, Kennedy Brooks from Oklahoma, Puka Williams from Kansas, and Trey Sermon from Ohio State.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. There's a lot of, like, really good players that are just, like, seniors or juniors that were left on the board simply because, you know, it's like, yeah, we're doing this for a – it's not for a 2020 fantasy league. It's for a long-term kind of, you know, roster.
Yeah, that's why this is all subjective. We're gonna need the listeners to decide who wins this thing.
I want it.
I feel pretty confident I would blow you guys out of the water.
No. What, your tight ends are gonna blow us out of the water? What, 5 yards at a time?
I have arguably the three best wide receivers in college football. I mean, truly, George Pickens last year in that offense as a true freshman, and he didn't even start the season, put up like 800 yards. I have arguably the three best wide receivers in college football.
And I will argue that your third is also kind of a knucklehead. He might get you a personal foul penalty every game.
Bring it on, man. We're trying to play loose at BAMU. we don't penalize personal fouls. Be you, man.
All about player empowerment. That's always right. That's always been Barton Simmons' role. All right, so we will be tweeting out the results of this, and you can get at us at Cover3Podcast, at Barton Simmons, at Tom Fernelli, at Chip_Patterson. Let us know what you think about how things went as we continue to build out these programs. Barton A&M, Fernelli Tech, the CPU. It was good work. We'll let the people, and we will let the performance of our squads decide how things are going moving forward. Reminder, we will be back tomorrow, Tuesday, for a quick instant reaction podcast after Tony Grimes' commitment. We've also got another regularly scheduled show planned for you on Thursday. As I mentioned, you can follow him on Twitter at Tom Fernelli. You can follow him at Barton Simmons. You can follow me at Chip_Patterson. Gentlemen, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sanfel, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.